Meditations and Prayers on the Seven Last Words, adapted from approved sources by John A. Cavanagh, CSSR, M.P.E. Potest, Francis J. Fagan, Nikhil Opstadt, Malachi P. Foley, Imprimatur, Samuel Alphonsus Stritch, copyright 1943. Please stand. At the crosser station keeping, stood the mournful mother weeping. Close to Jesus to the last, through her heart his sorrow sharing, all his bitter anguish bearing. Now at length the sword had passed. Please kneel. The prophecy in the old law. I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and prayer, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for an only son. And they shall grieve over him as a manner is to grieve for the death of the firstborn. And they shall say to him, What are those wounds in the midst of thy hands? And he shall say, With these I was wounded in the house of them that loved me. Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. We adore thee, O Christ, and we bless thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world. The fulfillment in the new law. Then he handed him over to them to be crucified, and so they took Jesus and led him away. And bearing the cross for himself, he went forth to the place called the Skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the center. And Pilate also wrote an inscription, and had it put on the cross, and there was written, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews, therefore, read this inscription, because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Greek, and in Latin. Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. We adore thee, O Christ, and we bless thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world. Let us pray. Look upon me, good and gentle Jesus, while before thy face I humbly kneel, and with burning soul pray and beseech thee to fix deep in my heart lively sentiments of faith, hope, and charity, true contrition for my sins, and a firm purpose of amendment, the while contemplating with great love and tender pity thy five wounds, pondering upon them within me, while I call to mind the words which David thy prophet said, They have numbered all my bones. Introductory Meditation. Please be seated. And when they had come to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there. With profound reverence and sincere contrition of heart, we gather here to meditate on the seven last words of our Savior on the cross, that we may better dispose ourselves to derive choicest graces from this meditation. Let us go back in spirit to the first Good Friday, and in spirit take our position on the hill of Calvary, called the Skull. Here we become spectators of the world's supreme drama, the crucifixion of our Lord. We are not alone. A large congregation has assembled, not to pray and worship, but to blaspheme and persecute. The trial of Jesus had come to an end. Pontius Pilate, the cowardly Roman governor, had pronounced the death sentence. Take him away and crucify him. No time is lost. In anticipation of his certain doom, a ponderous cross had been selected for him. Its crushing weight, symbol of the world's guilt, now bears heavily on his bruised shoulders. And we see a damsel procession now winding its cruel, tortuous way up the steep and rocky road to the summit of the hill. No death march ever had its equal. Crowned with thorns, covered with wounds, streaming with blood, and staggering under his burden, comes the Savior, followed by the two condemned thieves, all three tightly bound and closely guarded. Pressing close upon them are the numerous enemies of Jesus, a jostling mob, rending the air with frightful yells, curses, and blasphemies. The procession comes to a halt. It has reached its appointed destination. A scene of unsurpassed brutality unfolds before our eyes. Spurred on by the gloating scribes, Pharisees, and high priests, the Roman soldiers lay hold of the cross and drop it to the ground. Shamelessly, they strip Jesus of his clothing, and with it they tear the flesh that clings to his inner garments. Ghastly wounds are reopened, and streams of blood flow afresh. Thus denuded, he is thrown upon the cross and made secure. One of the executioners places a large spike upon his right hand. The heavy hammer rises and falls with horrible precision, and the iron nail crashes through flesh and bone, sinews and nerves. The left hand and then the feet of the sacred victim undergo the same excruciating torture. Behold, the innocent Lamb of God upon the altar of the cross. With no little effort, the unwieldy frame bearing its precious treasure is lifted on high. The lower beam is dropped with a dull thud into the hole prepared for it and fixed firmly in the ground. Thereupon the two thieves are crucified, one on the cross to his right and the other on a cross to his left. It is midday. Jesus commences his appalling agony. Through him surge all the throes of death ever experienced by mankind. For three seemingly interminable hours, he endures inexpressible torture of body and soul. Meanwhile, with savage triumph, his enemies close in on him to watch him suffer and die. There, too, beneath the cross, are Mary of Cleophas, Mary Magdalene, John their beloved disciple, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. With Mary as our guide and monitor, we also shall draw close to Jesus and lay our docile hearts at his feet to consider some details of those last hours of his sacred agony and to carry home with us the lessons he teaches from his pulpit of pain and from the blood-stained altar of his undying love. He speaks seven times. The words are few, the sermons are short, but the sweet stains of those divine utterances, like music from heaven, will echo and re-echo in grateful hearts until time will be no more. First, he preaches and exemplifies the sublime duty of forgiving our enemies. Second, he promises paradise to the penitent thief and to all repentant sinners. Third, he commissions Mary to be our spiritual mother. Fourth, he shows us the frightfulness of being deprived of the beatific vision. Fifth, he reveals his infinite thirst for our salvation. Sixth, he proclaims the consummation of the world's redemption. Seventh, he instructs us to commend our souls to his Heavenly Father as we pass from this world into eternity. May he grant us light and grace to learn and put into practice these great lessons of his infinite love. Let us now pray and dispose our hearts to derive all possible graces from the consideration of the last words of our Savior on the cross. Please kneel. Prayer to know and love Jesus crucified. O my crucified Savior, perfect model and gentle instructor, in the difficult art of suffering, teach me to know the wise folly of the cross and the foolish wisdom of the world. Hitherto I have shunned thy invitation to mourn with thee and thy sorrowful mother. I dreaded the road to Calvary. I feared to follow in thy footsteps. But where I sought comfort, I found only bitterness and vexation of spirit. Where I looked for light, I was plunged into darkness. Where I hoped to find the fullness of joy, I experienced most painful emptiness. And now, when I see thee, crucified and overwhelmed with sufferings out of love for me, my heart is filled with the most tender compassion for thee and with the most lively hatred of sin. Because of my transgressions, the Heavenly Father did not spare thee, although thou art his beloved Son. He demanded thy sufferings and death to satisfy his offended justice and holiness. Sin, then, in the eyes of the Heavenly Father, O my Jesus, is a greater evil than thy passion and death. With most profound and heartfelt sorrow, therefore, I repent of the sins of my whole life, because they have caused thee thy so bitter sufferings and so painful death. I weep over those sins because I have repaid thy infinite love with heinous ingratitude. I weep over them because they have so grievously offended thee, the supreme good, who art so deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve to die rather than offend thee again. Nevertheless, O my Jesus, I tremble at my great weakness. My wicked passions and evil inclinations tempt me violently to sin. I am fearful of the future, yet firmly do I hope for every good when I reflect on thy holy passion and place my confidence in thy infinite merits. Henceforth, the constant memory of thy passion and death will be the unfailing source of power to free me more and more from the fatal dominion of my evil inclinations. O crucified Jesus, grant me the grace to make every sacrifice to please thee and imitate the virtues I see thee practice on the cross. Grant that as I advance in age, I may also grow in wisdom and virtue and grace before God and man. Grant that I may submit my will to thy holy will in all I do and suffer, that I may know no other freedom, no other joy, no other good, than to live and die in union with thy holy will. In the past, I have had so little time for thee. I repent of it. I now resolve, with thy help, often to meditate with grateful heart on the wonders of thy divine love, manifested in the mysteries of thy sacred passion. O Mary, Mother of Sorrows, my Mother, obtain for me this grace, that, meditating on the sufferings of thy divine Son, I may be ever more closely united with him and thee. Amen. please stand. O how sad and sore distressed was that mother highly blessed of the soul begotten one. Christ above and tormentings, she beneath beholds the pangs of her dying glorious Son.